Hi team, welcome to our first Quick Connect podcast where you can stay informed and stay connected with everything that's going on in the Team CP world. We've got a fantastic podcast for you this morning or today. We're going to have a chat to Fiona for a start in regards to the adventure squad that we've got coming up across the course of winter, and then also going to have a chat to Team CP athlete Ben Williams about his summer of training and racing and what he's got coming up as well. So Fiona, how are you getting on today?
Yeah, good, thank you.
It's a story. And in regards to this adventure squad, do you want to tell us a little bit more about where that started and what it's about?
Yeah, adventure squad came about as a way for us to, A, connect people who might be into doing some cool adventure stuff together so that they could then find people to go and do other adventures with.
Yep.
And also just to fill a little bit of a gap through the winter where there's not quite as many events or people aren't necessarily training for something in, you know, specifically, just to keep them active and out there and engaged and having a bit of fun.
Wicked, wicked, wicked. So who's it for? So who is looking to line up for this thing?
Pretty much anyone who's adventurous and wants to maybe get a little bit off the beaten track. You do need a reasonably good basic level of fitness. So you need to be able to be on your feet for 5 or 6 hours moving forwards. We don't tend to do a lot of sitting around because it is winter and you get cold really quickly. And you need to have a good attitude because it's an adventure. We don't always know what's going to happen and we can't always tell you exactly what the plan is until we're there. so a little bit of dealing with uncertainty is a good trait to have.
Nice, nice, nice. So tell us about last year. Where did we go last year and what's kind of the plans lining up for 2024? You're the brains behind this operation and I always do enjoy the fact that you've got a bit of a list of what we could do and start looking at maps and stuff. So tell us a little bit about last year for a start.
Okay, well, you're testing my memory because they've all kind of blurred into one for me. But I'm pretty sure last year we went Mount Faust first,
yes.
Was that right?
Yes, that's right. Yep. That's great. So, that was past.
Yep, so Faust was definitely a bit of an adventure. The track was possibly slightly less clear than maybe we had anticipated on the way down. So I know your group did some bush bashing and found your way down.
We managed it, which we're pretty happy with, actually. We'll claim that. got that one right.
Yeah, my crew was traveling a wee bit slower and we ended up getting slightly, I wouldn't say lost, but we weren't exactly where we wanted to be and it looked like it was going to take a bit too long to get down, so we did a wee loop at the top and retreated back to the way that would come up. And I have to say it was snowing and blowing and cold, so we didn't want to mess around up there too
much. That's right. It was real claggy as well. There was not much visual sort of up the tops either when it was snowing in bits and pieces. So yeah, definitely good adventure. And then we went to up towards Arthur's Pass and climbed, well, not Mount Binzer, but the one sort of beside that.
Yeah, we did a wee loop over
Binzer Saddle.
What's the name of the saddle now? Is it Binzer Saddle?
Yeah.
And again, a little bit of bush bashing and scree slope, navigating up to the peak that's there, which was pretty fun. And you guys. We thought we weren't going to see you at all because we went opposite directions and we thought you guys were going super crazy speedy and then out of nowhere out you popped and we're all at about the same time.
Out of the bush bashing, which is awesome. And then we went up to Little Mount Peel and some of us also got across to Middle Mount Peel in the snow, which is pretty awesome, wasn't it?
Yeah, so we went up the rougher track up to the kind of intersection of the tracks and then everyone continued along the ridge a little way. So, yeah, that sort of slightly quicker group, I think, got all the way to the top of Middle Mount Peel.
Right? Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so we had to put our ice spikes on that could go across your running shoes, which is pretty awesome to be able to see what they're about up on the ice, up on the tops.
And my group too, we got into some of the snow and put our spikes on, had a bit of a play, and then it was quite nice because we all kind of ran down together and just went at everyone's own pace on the way back down to the cars.
Yeah, nice one, nice one. And one of the key things is the baking, that bit of shared baking that comes along as well, which I think we might develop into a competition this year because it definitely helps, doesn't it, to have that at the end.
Yeah, the baking and the hot soup.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well appreciated.
So obviously these are all Canterbury adventures. What happens if we live out of town? What's the story there?
Yep. So we've had quite a few athletes from out of town come down. And my understanding is that Richard's looking at setting up some sort of billeting system.
Yeah, there's been people share that in the past that I'm happy to sort of, I've got a few spare room or two, happy to share. So that's something that's available. So let us know if you're keen to have somebody sleep on your couch or need a couch to sleep on. And then also, yeah, we had Ben come over from Sydney. We had people come down for every adventure squad down from the North Island and up from down south as well. So come up on Saturday night, and then we're generally finished by what, 3, 4, 5-ish, like a plane home by 6 kind of thing. Works quite well, doesn't it?
Oh, I'd probably push it out a little bit. I would say it's normally dark when we park in town. So I would say we're back in town by 6 is normally the aim.
Okay, here we are.
So a 12-hour kind of day. So we try to leave at 6 from in town. But, you know, it is an adventure. Nothing's guaranteed. So I would be booking your flights probably closer to 8 or 9 o'clock.
Okay, there we go. Yeah, or the old flexi flight's always a good option, or maybe bringing that couch on board for the second night as well as possible. But yeah, absolutely. Anything else to share in regards to Adventure Squad for 2020? One thing I haven't asked you is where are we off to this year?
Nothing's confirmed yet, but we will definitely, if the weather allows us, we will definitely try and get up high and hit some peaks and maybe find some snow. And if the weather is not quite so good, then we will find some new valleys and maybe get a little bit off track. Generally Canterbury footholds type area, we'll try and hit 3 kind of different areas in our 3 trips.
Brilliant. Well done, Fiona. Excellent. Well, thanks for joining us. Thanks for sharing with that. Have a fantastic weekend, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Awesome. Cool.
Brilliant.
See ya.
Thank you. See ya. Just like that. And a big thank you to That's It, who you might have seen us sharing some stuff around recently, who make some epic skin protection for the naturally adventurous. And that'll be something that you'll be able to trial as well as part of that. So I'm going to grab Ben Williams. He's sitting here ready to roll. Ben, how are you getting on?
Good, thanks, Richard. How are you?
Very good, thanks. You've had a big summer of running, racing, all sorts of adventures around the place. How are the legs today?
They're still recovering from old ghosts, but they're slowly getting there. They're definitely
100%. If we got you to stand up at the moment and do a bit of a squat, how would that go?
Probably not very well. I might not really help.
Okay, we'll just leave it at that. We maybe won't go too deep with that one. As we kick off, we'll find out a little bit more about Old Ghost Road a little bit later on. But tell us a little bit about your background. How long you've been doing this running for, and how did you get into sort of running competitively in the first place?
Well, we live out in the country, and I sort of started cycling just to get to friends' houses and to get into town and not have to rely on mum and dad to drive me everywhere. So the first sort of race I did was an old race over what is now the Paparoa track. So you bike out from Greymouth to Barrytown and then run over and then kayak back down the Grey River. So I did the cycling section for that for my old boss, actually. He did the run, and he asked me, hey, our cyclist has had to pull out. Would you like to do the cycling? So I did a 30K bike ride when I think I was 13 or 14, and I come dead last, didn't get my feet out of the pedals, out of the cages when I got to the finish line, fell over at the finish line, and then he took over and ran over the mountain. And I sort of thought, God, there's no way in hell I could do that. That's a 20-something K run over a mountain. And yep. Then the next year I was actually doing the run, which was awesome. Yes. But I sort of started running when I was 14 at league training because it was too hard. So I thought, I'll go home and do some running to get a bit fitter, to make it a bit easier. And then the Coast to Coast came out with the school teams that same year.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So we got some friends together and we put on a team for that. And that's sort of where it all started.
Right. So start off with league training. What position do you play?
Oh, I was the wing. I was pretty rubbish at league. Yeah, I'm sort of not built for it. Every weekend I just go and get smashed. So
yeah,
the running's probably a lot easier on my body, which sort of shouldn't be, but yeah.
That's easier than being beaten up in Lee. No, well done. And it's been awesome working with you. In my intro, I didn't actually introduce you properly for a start, but basically you were successful in getting the emerging athlete promotion that we were doing last year, thanks to Signature Homes, which was pretty amazing, and had the opportunity to work with you across the summer with your running. And your key goal was to go and try and set the fastest time for the Coast to Coast mountain running event, which you did end up doing in an absolutely blistering place of 2 hours 45 minutes and 1 second, which was pretty incredible. And also set up your Flow Kayaks team to win the longest day 3-person event as well, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah
so that's cool. So let's talk a little bit more about that in terms of, I guess, training for that, because that's insanely fast. If anyone has been over the Goat Pass before, it's hard to even think about, like, okay, well, I'm heading up towards Goat Pass and Ben's already finished, pretty much, for most of us. Some of us aren't even at Doreen Creek at that stage and you're already finished the damn thing. So, I mean, how do you get to be that fast? Obviously, a whole bunch of running over time. But what did your summer look like in regards to your training?
Some very good training plans and nutrition plans and strength coach plans. But yeah, just a lot of time over Goat Pass. Like, I think I did it 14 times this year, since the last race. And I'm roughly estimating about 60 to 70 times since I started.
Wow.
So I know just about every rock on that stupid mountain run. I have places where if I know I've got my left foot on this rock, I'll have my right foot on the rock to be able to jump over this section. It's ridiculous. It's sick.
Yeah, and it is a thing that you did say, that I'm probably keen not to sort of see Goat Pass for a little while at the moment. I feel like I've definitely done it and got it sorted, and I know other people do feel like that. If they've done a bunch of training over the summer, it's good to just give it a bit of a break, and it's also for a lot of us want to try and keep it a bit of an adventure rather than knowing it too closely. But I mean, that's at the level that you're at, isn't it? To be able to run at that level, it's obviously getting your body used to that and also knowing your lines and things like that. And when I was running over the Goat Pass for the race this year, there was one sneaky line that you sort of took Sam Manson and I over that he wasn't aware of either, that was up on the left, a bit of mossy sort of rocks to run across, which was awesome. And I couldn't find it. I didn't know where it was. Like
I've shown a few people that line, and a lot of them go into that bushy sort of section and get lost and then give up. But it's only like 20 seconds difference. But
again, those things make you feel good, and it's also a matter of like, actually, I need to forget about that. I've lost it. It's behind me now, and keep moving forward rather than taking up more time trying to find it. So, in terms of your let's talk a little bit more about your training. So obviously lots of specific running across Goat Pass. What are some of the other things that you did this summer that we got you to do in that training plan that really helped you out?
A lot of the reps and stuff, like normally I'd do when I was just sort of stumbling my way through by myself with my own sort of training, I'd do a hard run, but it wouldn't be I'd have a sort of a set one where I'd do like a 2.5K of like hard out as hard as I can and get to the end of that and just be buggered. And I think that probably wasn't doing me much good. I feel like the reps, like the hill reps and the shorter, sharper stuff actually helped a lot, especially for Goat Pass.
Yep.
Just with the boulder and climbing up just the small little hills and everything. I think that made a pretty big difference.
It's not something that you particularly enjoyed or wanted to do, that you were sort of a bit intimidated walking into some of those sessions.
Yes. There. I just sort of just scroll through the training peaks and think, oh gosh, Wednesday, I'm not looking forward to that.
Already.
You need to prepare for it.
Yep. No, that's awesome. And so let's talk. Yeah, tell us about your 2:45. How did that unfold? How did that go for you a few weeks back?
It was good. The first few coast to coasts, I couldn't sleep like 2 or 3 nights beforehand, but over the last, this is the ninth, I've only really done the run for 7, and then I've done a few other different things for the other two, but the last 5, it's not something I get nervous for anymore. It's sort of just like brushing your teeth in the morning. You sort of just get up and you know exactly what's going to happen, you know how you're going to feel, and you just sort of go and do it. So I wasn't nervous. I slept up at Klondike Corner the night before because we raced on Saturday. And the start of the run, I started what I thought was too hard, but looking back at the times and my heart rate and stuff, it was probably roughly what I needed to be doing to get the time that I wanted. Like, I think I equaled Dan Jones's segment time for the first 2.5K to the swing bridge, which was funny. Yeah, it was just, I had to push a bit harder on sections than I probably should have just to sort of get around. Like, there's the first river crossing after the Otira, there was a massive lineup of people, and I knew I needed to run that quite hard to get to those single tracks in front of them all, so I didn't have to wait. So it worked out all right, but it was a messy, hard run.
Yeah, a bit of traffic makes a difference, and that was part of the reason for doing the longer stay, because that's been an issue in the past, isn't it, with traffic when you're doing the two-person team, to be able to get around a few others.
Yeah, well, most people are really good. If they hear you coming and you say, oh, excuse me, they get out of the way straight away.
That's right. But you're coming so fast behind people that that you sort of like you can
not give people a prize. Not all the time. There are some very, very quick people in the one-day race as well, as you probably know. There's some very fast people in the two-day race as well.
Yes. How were you going? Like, one of the key parts of the run is getting out and down all right. How were you getting on there? Were you starting to hurt? What was the sort of thoughts? Were you looking at your watch going, I might have this? Where were you at?
I sort of have a agreement with myself that I don't check my watch, mainly because I'm too scared to. I don't want to know what time I'm doing. I started cramping up a wee bit sort of halfway between Goat Pass and Dudley's Knob, but I didn't actually, like, nothing grabbed until the bottom of Dudley's Knob, and it was just my hamstring, but I had some cramp fix, so that sort of that fixed that. But no, it was good. I think I ran that section quite hard. Like, I sprinted from Goat Pass to Dudley's Knob one weekend as fast as I could, and I think I was only sort of 30 seconds behind that time. So,
and that was when you were doing it relatively fresh as well on that sort of, like, I'm just going
to
run that.
Yeah, I sort of only just jogged up to Goat Pass for that weekend and then just ran that section as hard as I could just to see what time I could do on it.
Yep.
And I think I was only a minute or 30 seconds behind that time. So I wouldn't have liked to go any harder or faster than I did on the race day.
Nice. Yeah, nice. That's awesome. Crossing the finish line when you check your watch, because the goal was 2:44, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. Yep. I should have really looked at it 3 or 4K back, but I say that, but I don't think I would have really known what time that would have equated to. Mm-hmm. Like, if I looked at it at the start of the stock bank and saw it was, 2:38 or something, I sort of wouldn't have an idea of how long that piece actually takes me normally. Yep. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if it would have actually done much good. It probably would have just maybe nervous and angry or something. I don't know, but I caught up to I didn't catch up to all of them, but I caught up to some of the top end of the longest day, which was really cool,
which is pretty amazing. Like, so you actually managed to run or caught up with Sam Manson and that sort of level, so that's the other guys that you're actually hanging out with, which is pretty impressive.
It was quite surreal passing those guys. Hopefully I didn't put Sam Manson too wrong in some of my line choices. Hopefully it helped and not hindered him.
good stuff. So and then you were off to the Old Ghost Ultra just last weekend, which is why you can't stand up in a hurry or sit down in a hurry right now.
That was a big day.
How did that go?
It was good. I was probably a little overconfident standing at the start line. I did it back when I was 16, which was a mistake. And then I think
to do it then.
Too young. That was my third ever running race, which is ridiculous. I just thought, I can run. I've done a couple of marathons and stuff that I felt good for, and I just thought, well, if I can run that, surely I can put two and two together and run two of them, but obviously I can't. But it was good. I was second until about 50K, and I was just sort of cruising, but I started feeling queasy. I hadn't been able to do any long training missions and practice nutrition for that. I'd sort of just focused on Goat Pass, which I'm glad I did.
Yeah.
But it probably wasn't the best build up to that race.
Yeah.
But it was sort of just a race I wanted to go and do semi well at anyway. So I think I sort of completed that. But yeah.
Nice. Nice. Yeah. So, I mean, when you are training so specifically for one, which is a 33K really rough run, opposed to an old Ghost Ultra, which is 80 odd Ks and a lot more runnable on a sort of runnable trail, are actually really quite two different beasts, aren't they? And, and I think we learned that on the weekend.
Yes. I had a few people commented on my footwork over the last section of the trail, which I thought I was just hobbling along, but people said I was tiptoeing on all the tops of the rocks and stuff. I was like, oh, well, okay. And I was like, why have you, what, how, where do you run? Why are you like that? So, oh, I do go past like 14 times a year. And they're, oh, yeah, yeah, no, that'll do it. That'll probably do it.
What was the learning? What did you take away from the old Ghost Ultra that you look to try and improve on for the future?
Nutrition is extremely important.
Yeah.
So it was, you know, fluid and eating and, yeah, eating and drinking. Probably just, a lot of it's up here too. Like, 3 hours in, I'm normally done most of my runs. It's we get to 5, 6, 7, 8 hours. You sort of, you know, your mind comes into it quite a lot more.
Yep. So again, good learning and how do we tough it out, but also expecting that as well. And as you say, like, you didn't do any training runs on that long because that wasn't what your key focus was. So that's a challenge as well. Nice. So you were selected, as I mentioned, as the Team CP Signature Homes Emerging Athlete. How has it helped you across? So yeah, Kim helped you out. Kush has helped you out. Kim's helped with strength. Kush is with nutrition, and we've been working together from a training plan perspective. Is there any sort of key things that's made a difference for you?
Well, just firstly with the training plans, if I'm sort of stumbling my way through my own stuff, I sort of get in the habit of just doing the same run each day each week, which is you're sort of stalling out your training if you're doing that, and you sort of get comfortable. I don't feel like I was pushing myself quite as much as the training plans you've set out were or and are, I mean, sorry. It's been really good, especially like I sort of wake up on a Saturday morning and I don't really know what I'm going to do. It's like, oh, I could go and do this, and then you spend half the day mucking around and you don't actually get out and do what you were sort of aiming for. Whereas if you can sit back and say, oh, well, I'm doing this on Saturday, I can go and pick out something in advance and sort of prepare for it, and you get more out of it.
And then
brilliant. With Kush with the nutrition, it's been amazing. Like I had the view that, oh, I do heaps of running, I can eat what I want, doesn't matter, I'll be sweet. Whereas, I sort of knew that that's not how it works. But having someone say, hey, look, you need to focus on this and this.
Yeah.
Has been really good, and I can definitely feel it. Like Goat Pass, I finished that. I still felt good. I felt buggered, but I felt like I still had energy.
Yeah,
if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
which
for sure.
Normally, I get to the end of that, and I want to go to sleep for 10 days.
But, yeah, just ruined. Yeah, nice. And what about the strength training? How'd you go there?
Yeah, the strength training, I think you probably know with most runners, it's sort of gets put on the back burner quite often.
It's easy to do that. Yep.
If I had ever done any, it would have always just been a simple, basic full body workout. And I didn't really know what I was doing. I was probably risking injury and a whole lot of other stuff. So I don't think I was getting much out of it. But with Kim, what she's put me onto, it's muscle and, well, a specific muscle focus for things like Goat Pass, like just helping out certain muscle groups. And it's been great. It's been really good.
Nice. Good stuff. So what's the plan for the season ahead? Are you having a break now, or is a few races coming up? What's the next thing on the cards for you?
I just signed up for the 50K at Oxford Odyssey just this morning.
That's pretty honest. Good stuff.
Prodding my sister and friends to sign up as well, so I'm not out there alone. I'm trying to think of the races now. I might do, there's a 50K in Greymouth on the cycle trail I might do. Then there's Tekapo, possibly Kepler. And then I'm sort of looking at Tauwera in February next year, just instead of the coast to coast for the first time in 9 years, which would be weird. But
which, yep, yeah, that's
sort
right.
Of thing. I need to step back from that race. It's an amazing race. I'll still go there and support crew because I don't think I could be away from it for a year, but I just, yeah, I feel like I need to try something different.
Yep. Nice, nice, nice. And that's a pretty fantastic lineup of running and yeah, it'd be really interesting to test yourself and see how you get on with that.
Yeah, good job. I'm sort of pushing towards sort of the longer stuff now, a wee bit, not all ghost length, but a little bit longer than go pass.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. Hey, and one other thing I wanted to mention, Adam at Signature Homes is also, I caught up with him on Wednesday and he mentioned to me, it'd be really cool to see if we could help because you've done so well this year. He's really keen to get on board and help you out again. So he's just told us that he's keen to get behind you again and offer that same coaching up for you for another year, which is pretty awesome as well. Coaching, support with Kim and from Kushner as well. So we'll look forward to working with you again and seeing how you can go on these your next goals for the year ahead.
No, that is amazing. Okay, cool. That is freaking awesome. Can't wait. Excellent.
We might have to get you along to our adventure squad maybe. If you're happy for a nice slow easy day out, Ben.
Definitely. I'm real keen for some nice slow easy days at the moment.
Yeah, good stuff. Excellent.
That sounds very appealing.
Good stuff. Hey, well, thanks you so much for joining us, Ben. It's been great to be able to help you out across this summer and see you perform so well across that Coast Mountain Run and also across last weekend. Well done for turning up and battling it out and getting it done as well. So look after yourself, recover well, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Sweet. Thank you.
Good job. Nice work. And just pushing some buttons here. Nice work. Hey, thank you so much for joining us. This is our first podcast that we're going to do on a regular basis on a Friday, our Quick Connect, which is basically going to look at highlighting all our awesome people that we coach on all different levels. So great to talk to Ben, who was at the top of the list and racing really fast, but also going to share lots of different personalities and people that we're coaching as well, and share some of those stories across the way. And we'll also be checking in with our coaching team and having a chat to them about something that's top of mind across every week as well, keeping it short and sharp and to the point. So big thanks for Ben for joining us, and also a big all the best for those that are towing the start line in Taupo Ironman and the Motutapu tomorrow, and also the Lake Canary Triathlon's on tomorrow as well. So those people that are on the West Coast heading along to that, all the best for that as well. So until next week, look after yourself, stay safe, enjoy your adventures, and we'll look forward to catching up with you soon. Cheers, team, and we'll see if we can push the buttons and do a bit of an over and out as well. Till next time.